things that they did do, you know, I was, you know, in the house, there was always literature around, you know, black idols and icons, Malcolm X, MLK, Maya Angelou. Those were always present and available for me to read if I wanted to, you know, dive deeper into kind of some of the history and some of the icons in black history as well. You know, of course, they tried to, you know, give me black dolls as well. So, you know, when I was growing up, or, you know, toys and stuff like that, or action figures. So it's, that was kind of a little thing that they attempted to do for a while. They also had, you know, where I was growing up in California, they got involved with an organization where transracial adoptees can kind of get together, spend time together, do activities outside of the normal family. And that was a great opportunity to kind of meet up and make friends with other black kids who were going through the exact same thing that I was going through. And that was a phenomenal part of, you know, around middle school, that time of my life. And I think that was key, though. And I think that's something that they didn't do consistently, though. There was kind of little efforts here and there, and they were very aware. But I think one of the key things about transracial adoption is that consistent community and sense of belonging. And so the parents' efforts to immerse their kids in it have to be consistent as well. And that's kind of the things that came back and were exposed in later conversations where, you know, my parents mentioned to me that, oh, they're considering moving to a neighborhood that was more diverse and so forth. But, you know, it was wishful thinking that didn't really manifest itself. I think in retrospect, that's something that I would have really benefited from, though. And, you know, that is, you know, something that I live with. But, you know, thankfully, I'll, of course, have my community regardless. So, but yeah, so that's kind of a little bit of the process for me.